Lai is dressed up and playing her tune.
It's one of the big ones of the 1970s, Seals and Crofts. The last of the two of them passed away not so long ago, about 6 months ago. But it was a big song, Summer Breeze, at 8:06 on over 103.5. It is Tuesday morning. You should be at work now. And who wants to work? So let's talk squash, okay? So grab yourself a cup of coffee and let's just hana about squash because it's a big deal, right? I've got with me two guests, Stephen. You'll recognize Stephen from his voice. And Nicole joins us today as well from BDO. So let's start with you, Stephen. This is a big deal, not only because it's the Namibian Open, which is now a sanctioned event. But it's also there's also a test series coming up. Now, we think to ourselves, rugby test versus squash test. Not quite the same thing, right?
Yeah, Dion, thanks for having us. We're starting off with the BDO Namibian Open tomorrow. It's the first time we're ever hosting a PSA event in Namibia. So
okay,
I guess
PSA, for those who don't know.
Yeah, it's basically the equivalent of ATP is with tennis.
It stands for Professional Squash Association.
Yeah, so it's the first time we're hosting a sanctioned one. And what's great is it's attracting players from all over the world. We did have a couple of entries from France and Sri Lanka and a couple of other countries. They, unfortunately, some of them pulled out, but we still have Egyptians. Yeah. We've got Nigerians. We've got Kenyans. We've got Zambians. We've got...
Obviously, South Africans.
By
loads as well.
And you know, it's great for the spectator, great for the sponsors, obviously, because it's increasing, it's turning it into a massive tournament, you know, and great exposure for the players. I had a knock with some of the guys yesterday, and man, watching Max running around with the Nigerian and one of the and Damien Groenewald from South Africa, and seeing Max, who's steps ahead of the rest of us Namibians, being chased around the squash court like an amateur was great for me to see it, because he normally does that to me. But you know, it just shows you how much exposure we need. I had a chat to the Nigerian guy yesterday, and he says he plays 15 PSA tournaments every year.
Wow.
This is the first time any of us Namibians are playing one. And
yeah,
most of us are towards the end of our squash careers. So, you know, it just shows you what we're missing out on and how far behind we are. But as Nicole said before we started, this is hopefully the first stepping stone towards future generations of squash in Namibia.
And of course, the fact that it is now a PSA sponsored or a sanctioned event, you'd find more people who are prepared to play in that tournament because they know the rules are being followed. This is not some Mickey Mouse backyard squash court, you know, according to your own size and this and that and the next thing. It's being done by the book.
It's been done by the book. I mean, we've had to upskill players to become qualified level two referees. Yeah. We had to change our the tins on the squash court. They had to be lower. You know, it's the PSA level is 17 inches, not 19 inches, and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
But also to accommodate the spectators, we're expecting we've upgraded pavilions and we've redone our walls. We've fixed our floors up. So, we already had world-class courts.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
when I chatted to a couple of South Africans when we were down there in June for the IPTs, they were the ones telling all the other guys, make sure you get to Namibia because there's no courts or very few courts in South Africa at that standard.
But even here locally, I mean, Wanderers courts are essentially the squash courts around. There are some other ones, but these are basically the ones you want to play at, right?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, that's probably why we have nearly 300 members at Wanderers. You know, everyone knows squash is a great sport for retired sportsmen, you know, a lot of the guys that finish their cricket careers or rugby careers, or hockey, whatever it might be, move across to squash.
Those who still have knees left. Really,
exactly. But I mean, our youngest member that's taking part in this tournament is 12 years old, but our oldest member is 74.
Sure. You know, that's a great sport. Range.
Exactly.
And of course, it's one of those sports that when I was a youngster, it was very much the done thing. If you could play squash, you would. Almost everybody started playing. Few went on, most dropped out.
Yeah.
But it's these days, it's almost like it's not the first choice anymore. And I think that has to do with facilities and you know, tournaments and that sort of thing, right? And that's where Nicole comes into this, because obviously it's all about exposure, not only for the sports, but for BDO now as well as the sponsors.
Yeah, so for us, it's really important to expose both. You know, taking it to a PSA level, getting international exposure, getting our guys exposed to the international standards and the players, and then exposing our name, of course, is a huge bonus. We're also looking at bringing other international BDOs in. So South Africa's agreeing to join us next year, and we're looking at a few others in the SADC region.
Yeah, of course, it is an international organization.
It's an international organization.
So the nice thing is, even if you work through them, you can then say, right, get the pro squash players in your region to come and join.
Yeah. Some of the things that come up with international events is transferring money becomes really expensive. So then they do it through the BDOs, and then you have one transaction fee. So it simplifies it, uniting international event with the international organization.
I never actually thought about that, because that makes total sense now, especially even if it's just in the Southern African region, or Africa for that matter. Yeah. There's SA and all of them around. It just does simplify matters. All right, so this, I mean, this to me sounds like a long-term plan. This is not a once-off, right? Because you're obviously thinking in terms of other events and larger events. So that's good news. So you guys are in for at least the medium term, I would imagine.
Yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, those decisions get made on a probably an annual basis. Do we continue with it and so on? But and that's where the spectators come in. Get out there and support it, because the more people are there watching squash, the more people are not only being exposed to it, but the sponsors get their mileage as well out of it, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and that's the advantage of the PSA event is, okay, you pay a sum to be registered as a PSA player. That's why we've only got one PSA division for the men and one for the women.
Yeah.
The rest is a normal A division, normal B division. But if you're registered with the PSA, you get paid, even if you come last. So I think the guy that comes last, I'm speaking under correction, remember, this is a small PSA tournament, gets $850 just for coming last.
That's basically for pitching up. I mean, that's the equivalent of a competitor's medal. You played, that's cool.
Yeah.
But that's great.
Exactly. But I mean, if we're able to escalate this and grow it in the future, then players can be walking away with a couple of grand just for pitching up, like you say. So, you know, that's what we want to get. And it's a great way to put Namibia on the map. I'm involved in a couple of WhatsApp groups with the World Squash Development Programs and stuff.
Okay.
And just watching what's going on there, they are posting and sharing the living daylights out of Namibian squash because of what's going on, but no one knows who Namibia is, if you know what I mean.
Sure, then obviously the important part is getting them, like with rugby, you know, we get where we get because of the funding from that side and the involvement from that side, because that's when you start swapping players from there to here and you start being exposed to that. So, yeah, but it sounds all in all like a very good idea, the fact that it's at that point now. And obviously without sponsors, that wouldn't be possible. So but what kind of financial input do you guys have now for this tournament, ballpark, you know?
So the total cost of the tournament is about $160,000.
Okay.
And so BDO is giving about $120,000, and then we've got other sponsors on board as well.
Okay.
And then, of course, the income from entrance fees and so on and so forth.
But, I mean, it's a sizable chunk of cash that you've invested into, so that's good stuff. Yeah?
And if we go, if we level up next year, then we'll need to add things like having a full-time masseuse available.
Sure.
This year, we've only added a medic with a defib.
Heart attacks taken care of, bleeding taken care of.
Yep.
Your muscle problem's not our problem at this point, right? But so, obviously, at an international level, that's kind of almost expected. So
It's their requirements. Yeah. We have to comply with it. And then, of course, the prize money goes up.
Sure.
This year, it's $3,000 for the top PSA winner. And that's a huge jump from where we were previously at our tournaments. And that's important to get those international people here. It doesn't make sense to fly all the way to a different country.
Yeah.
And you're not actually making
anything. Yeah, I mean, that's what they do for a living. They're professionals. They get paid. Okay, so now that's big in itself, right? But there's a test series coming right after that. So you're telling the guys, well, you've really played tough squash now at high level for the last 3 days. How about we continue and nail you some more, right? Because there's a test series right after.
Yeah. On the one hand, I'm disappointed to have missed out on the final team. But on the other hand, I'm quite happy because this tournament, the BDO itself is going to be really tough.
Yeah.
I remember after last year's one, it took me about 3-4 days to recover. This year, they've got one day. And on Monday, they start. We've got the opening ceremony. I think it's at 10 o'clock on Monday morning.
Yeah,
and then they get going. It's Namibia, South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Zambia, and those three countries are really strong. South Africa is really tough, but Zambia and Zimbabwe have also got very strong.
But we every now and then see some of those players come over here, and they are very competitive. And not only they are right up there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were training with a couple of them yesterday, and I managed to play against Dievold van Niekerk last year in the opening match of the Namibian Open. And he's not yet for the Nam Open, but he's coming for the test series. He's South Africa's number one.
Sheesh.
And these guys are really strong, you know. And it's the kind of stuff that guys like Max and Dani and Brandon and the rest of the Namibian team need. You know, if they want to make the step up and play African Cup, which they did last year for the first time in many years, this will be a very good preparation for them. The guys are also considering going to the Worlds in New Zealand. I'm not quite sure what the status is there.
Yeah.
But you know, they want to start playing a lot more international tournaments, and this is what we need to get there.
Well, you need to level up, because the fact of the matter is, if you're playing with local quality players only, you will never get better. You can coach up to a point, but we're seeing the rugby now. It's taken Namibia years, but they're definitely doing better than they were doing right at the beginning when there were cricket scores being put against them. So that's the way to go. Yeah. And of course, the big tournaments and the Namibian Open and then now the squash test series, that's going to be good. So how long? That also runs only for a couple of days, right?
Yeah, so I can't remember what the fixtures are, but we start on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I know they made sure we don't get South Africa first so the guys can sort of ease into themselves. So I think there was a bit of, I'm not sure, but they do finish on Wednesday, and it's basically a round robin. Everyone plays each other, and whoever wins the most matches.
And their teams per country, right? Five, you said?
Five players per team, and then one reserve. Yeah.
Okay, and then they play out against each other, depending on the ranking that you give them inside of those teams?
Yeah, so the number ones play against each other, the number twos play against each other.
Yeah, so there are no serious mismatches.
No, exactly.
And then you see where the countries end up, right? Depending on number of matches won, or is it the scoring, the points?
No, so whoever wins the most matches wins. So if you're playing, I mean, it's five against five, so one team should win three and the other one maximum two. So you get your points for your wins, and then obviously at the end of the week, whoever's got the most wins pretty much wins.
How do you see at this point, what do you see the ranking to be, given where people are, countries are in the world and the level of their players?
I would say on paper, it should be South Africa should win comfortably.
Should be first, yeah.
Zambia is really strong. They've got most of their players play squash on a full-time basis.
Wow.
But I don't think they have the funding that a country like South Africa has, but they're still really strong. The Zambians always do very well at the Namibian Open. So I would expect them to come second. I don't know too much about Zimbabwe. I do know they've got a very good development structure.
Okay.
So I would assume they would, on paper, should come third, but hey, don't write Namibia off. No one knows our boys,
course,
you know. They call us the Biltong Bura for a reason. So.
Plus, you got home field advantage, home court advantage. You're playing at home in front of hopefully nice big crowds.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does our development structure work? Do you guys have like a pipeline feeder, youngsters start playing and they move on through the ranks?
Yeah, so we do have, each club has a couple of coaches. In Swakop, they've got Devon Savage. In Walvis Bay, they've got Emmanuel Amoronga.
Yeah.
Wanderers has got Sean Wathan, and then Luke Allen is there too. The problem is squash isn't really in the schools, you know, so it's run privately. So you've got to have parents that take their kids. And if we can't get the schools to drive it, it's very difficult. If you look at South Africa, most of the schools have got their own squash courts.
Yeah.
You know, start with the big schools, but you even go down to the smaller schools in South Africa, they've got a squash team. Andy Faree, who plays here now, went to Wynberg, and I think they've got 8 squash courts.
Wow.
You know, so the guys play school squash for their schools, and it's a curriculum at school.
It's all clubs. So you have to basically be a Wanderers member, I would imagine. Essentially, that's basically your options, right?
Yeah. So it's privately run, and the parents have to become members of the clubs. And that makes it difficult.
Yeah.
You know, the schools don't get involved or aren't involved because they don't have courts. But we are pushing it. Luke Allen and Sean are going and driving around, and I think Devon and Swakop has got 23 juniors at the SFC. So it's picking up. You know, a few years ago, there were no juniors.
And the point is, the more people you have, you can make a case for having a court built at some point, however it's done, that you can have a place for people to train and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Right, there we go. So big squash happening as from tomorrow through till just before the weekend. That is the BDO Namibian Squash Open sanctioned event. And then after that, it's a test series. 4 countries, 5 persons per team. And then it's basically a round robin, right? Top country wins.
So there's not going to be a final.
It'll be a ranking situation.
But it's going to be really tough. I mean, most of the South Africans, I think 4 of the 5 weren't able to come play the Namibian Open because one of them are getting married and the other 3 are groomsmen or something like that. But they're all coming up for the...
They're probably all like buddies because they're all playing the same sport, right?
So, I mean, they're all coming up for the test series. So I think the advantage there, they're already stronger players, but they're all going to be fresh as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an uphill battle. But look, again, we can't take away the exposure our players are going to get out of this. So we're really looking forward
to it. Nicole, get your people in Joburg or wherever to phone that guy to say, don't do it. Don't do it. We need him up here, but just for general. No, just joking. Right, Nicole, nice talking to you. And Stephen, of course, as well. We'll keep up to date with that. And I'm doing this publicly now so everybody's heard it, right? We kind of need some results from you guys as well. We'll be there as much as we can to just get it out there as well. And we wish the locals the best. We know. Obviously, you know, you want to do a good showing. because it is international level player, so you want to kind of man up and do your thing, right? What I believe there's a the lady who is going to be defending her title in the Squash Open is what, something like 16 or 17 years old?
Yeah, Danae van Zyl. She won the Namibian Open last year. I think she was 15 when she won it, and the youngest ever to have won the tournament. She's obviously playing in the PSA division this year. She's got her work cut out for her this year. She's playing against the number one seed from Egypt in the first round.
Wow.
But fortunately, you know, so how the PSA tournament works is if you lose your first match, you're knocked out.
Okay.
But in order to attract players from different countries to take part, they've allowed it. If you lose your first match, you drop down into the A division.
Yeah, so you keep playing.
So Danae will at least be able to fall back if she loses her first match, can at least carry on and try and
That would be nice to keep going. All right, so I thought I'd put that in. I read that somewhere like, whoa, she's very young, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so she has many years in front of her still. And obviously, I think squash, probably as much, but maybe even more than many other sports, it's all about playing cleverly as opposed to playing hard. And I think the older you get, the more wily you get, right?
You have to. I wake up in the morning feeling like a penguin when I run around too much. So you got to get wily and learn these fancy, they call it old toppy squash in. You got to figure out these tricks and how it's tough.
Do the minimum for the maximum gain, exactly. Right? Well, we know about that, Nicole, right? We all do that.
I saw Stephen after a match yesterday, and I'll promise you, he definitely worked hard.
There we go.
It wasn't just working smarts.
I know, I felt that this morning.
Oh yes, you got a couple of games coming up, so it's going to be a fun week. I think it's going to be awesome. Well, it's a bit more than a week, but I'm looking forward to it. So that kicks off tomorrow. First game start at or opening ceremony would be tomorrow morning, I would imagine. Or do you start
there's no opening ceremony for the NAM Open. There will be for the Test Series, right. But first matches start I think at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Okay.
And that's obviously at the Wanderers courts?
At the Wanderers, and then we run through till about 9 o'clock every night.
Lekker. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. We'll be out there. Congratulations on putting it together, and we wish you all a great tournament. Thank you so much, BDO, of course. And great. Nice talking to you guys.
Thanks, Dion.
Thanks.
Hold on to your lederhosen, because Oktoberfest is approaching.